Amen. 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 Good morning, everybody. Amen. Amen. Let's shake off the stuff from the week. Amen. Welcome to Taylor Tabernacle. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Welcome to everybody in the sanctuary, everybody who's joining us via Facebook and YouTube. This is the day that what? The Lord has made. Amen. Amen. So let us rejoice this morning. We are Taylor Tabernacle, located in West Philadelphia. Now, I know y'all know that, but for everyone online, that's where we are. And our pastor is Pastor Jonathan E. Ford. Amen. Amen. And he'll be bringing a good word this morning. Amen. 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 So we're going to have two things before I bring our pastor out. Now, as everybody's coming in the door, I'm going to go to our scripture. So while they're coming in, if there's anyone needs a Bible, raise your hand. We'll have a Bible brought to you. We're going to be coming out of Isaiah this morning with one very appropriate verse. Amen. And I'm going to be coming out of Isaiah chapter 54. We're going to be reading verse 13. And as a special treat, I'll just read in a couple different versions. It's the same message and it's a similar word, but we're going to read it in just a couple verses real quick. Amen. Amen. So if we could all stand for the reading of God's word. So first from the King James Version. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. Amen. New Living. I will teach all your children, and they will enjoy great peace. And NIV, all your children will be taught by the Lord, and great will be their peace. Amen. Amen. That is appropriate this morning. Amen. And it's actually appropriate every Sunday. Amen. Amen. So I am going to open us up in prayer and then we will proceed. Amen. Lord Jesus, thank you for that word that we just read. Hallelujah. For everyone in this room was a child. Or is it, child? But you blessed us with life. You blessed us, hallelujah, with families. You blessed us with provision. You blessed us with teaching. And Lord, you blessed us with always having a prepared word for us. Thank you, Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for all that has been going on in this world. You brought us here this morning. Hallelujah. We know all the stories of the things that are going on. We're praying for friends and family. But you brought us here. Hallelujah. That even coming here would be a witness unto your glory. Thank you, O Lord. Prepare our hearts, our minds, our ears to hear that good word that you have for us this morning. Lord, that word would be written on the fleshy tables of our heart, and that we would be doers of that word. So prepare us right now, Christ Jesus. There are more than two or three gathered here in your name, ready to hear your word. Bless this service. Anoint our pastor to deliver that word, that we would leave here edified, transformed, and renewed, that you would get the glory out of our lives. Thank you, Christ Jesus. Thank you, Christ Jesus. Thank you, Christ Jesus. Lord, if we pulled out the list, there'd be so many things to thank you for. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Be in the midst with us this morning. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Without further ado, if you'd remain standing, here is our pastor, Pastor Ford.
Good morning, and God bless you. Please, you may be seated. Good morning, and God bless all of you. Welcome to the Tabernacle again on this Sunday morning. What a great day it is. This is our child dedication service. And so we're so glad for the Price family. Let's give them a hand. Amen. Thank God for them, the parents, grandparents, godparents, children, all of them. And so what I would like to do is move right in to the dedication of the children. After that, we'll be blessed with a solo, and then we'll move into the Word of God. Amen? So one of the things I like to do whenever there is a child dedication or a baby christening, I like to use it as an opportunity to teach certain things in the church, certain traditions and customs. And so one of the questions I often receive around this type of service for children or for babies is, does this serve as a baptism for the child? So I get asked that question around this service and or when there's water baptism, because some folks in conversating with them will say, hey, Pastor, when I was, you know, when I was 3 years old, you know, I was baptized at my grandmother's church. And it gives a, it's a great opportunity to kind of explain and differentiate the two. OK, so a baby's christening or a child's dedication is not water baptism. OK, they're not the same. When baptized, a person is aware and acknowledges Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, and then dedicates their life to live for him. And their baptism serves as an outward sign of that inward conversion and commitment to Christ. Okay? So that's water baptism. What we're doing here today with a child dedication or a baby christening, we're simply praying for and blessing these children. Okay? That's all we're doing. Nothing more than that. They still have their life in front of them, and our hope, my hope as their pastor, their hope as their parents, is that as they grow older and become more mature, that they will one day make a personal decision to accept Christ, okay? And when they do that and receive the rite of water baptism, we need to all come to that service, right? That's the one that counts, right? That's the one that matters. So, I wanted to say that first, and then secondly, I want to address the various groups or ages, shall we say, within the church. So first, in talking to all the children, not just Zoe, Zaya, and Quentin, but to all of the children that are here and those that are joining online, I just want to draw your attention to Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verses 1 through 3. And there it says this, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, okay, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. Kids always ask, either to their parents or to someone else, why do I have to listen to my parents all the time? Okay? If you ever get in, you ever get hit with that question, call your pastor, right? Because you got an answer for him. Ephesians 6:1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Why? Because this is right. This is the beginning building blocks to a strong, stable society. It's children being taught and children learning that they must obey their parents. There's no law in the Constitution that says it's right, but there is word in the Word of God that says this is right. And when children do that, they honor God, okay? The wonderful thing about honoring your parents, as the Word of God tells us, and as we see in the Ten Commandments, God promises us long life. And by long life, it's not merely the number of days that we give to be beyond the required, the 60 and 10, but not long life in terms of length of days, but long life and a prosperous life. is what I often try to get young people to understand. You obey your parents. There are benefits that come with that. Do you follow what I'm saying? Not just a long life, but a healthy life, a prosperous life. Why? All because, as a young person, I learned to obey my parents. Amen? Okay, great. Now, to the parents, okay? I'm going to make sure, Quincy and Zakiya Price. Great, I thought I had the last middle names in there, but no. Quincy and Zakiya, thank you for doing this, right? As parents, you're responsible to train and to teach your children the way of salvation. According to Proverbs 22 and 6, it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And so just as children have a responsibility under God's economy in the family, so do parents. And our job is to make sure we train and teach our children according to the word of God. Okay? So we're familiar with that, Proverbs 22 and 6. It is your responsibility to provide the proper example for your children. 2 Corinthians the second chapter, verses 2 and 3, it says, our very lives are a letter that anyone can read just by looking at it. Christ himself wrote it, not with ink, but with God's living spirit, not chiseled into stone, but carved into human lives, and we publish it as we live. It's always important to remember, especially as parents, kids often don't do what we say. They do what they see, okay? And that's a word for all of us as adults, but especially as parents. We need to model out the life we want our kids to live, okay? So if we want our kids to obey us, we have to show our kids what? Us as parents obeying someone else, right? So that they can see it in practice. The old saying is, a picture is worth what? 1,000 words. Why? Because we can see it. So again, thank you, Quincy and Zakiya, for bringing your children and family here today. Okay? So next, I want to talk to the grandparents, and that is Janet Coulibay, grandmother, and Edward Price. Amen. They're here this morning. God bless you. Thank you for being here and welcome. And as grandparents, now I'm not there yet, but I do have a few nuggets just to share with you. Even as grandparents, there's responsibilities too. Just as children have obligations to love and honor their parents, so do grandparents have responsibilities toward their children's children. Proverbs 13:22 says that a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. Righteous people live wisely and pass on their wisdom and their knowledge and wealth of blessings on to their grandchildren. Grandparents play a unique role in God's design for the family. Free from the responsibility to train and discipline the child, grandparents can offer open arms, acceptance, and a safe place for a child to run when things are not going well with mom and dad. Grandparents can provide wisdom beyond that of their parents since they have already walked this road many years before. Okay? A wise grandparent, though, will never intrude upon a parental decision in front of a child. A grandparent's role is not to supersede the parent, but rather to support and encourage and counsel as needed. When parents, grandparents, and children are living out their roles as God designs, the entire family thrives and is blessed. Amen? And what a wonderful thing it is to see within a family multiple generations, grandparents, parents, children, great-grandparents, to be able to see that in a lifetime and to be able to witness the legacy of righteousness being passed down through that family from great grandparents, grandparents, parents, and on to the kids. Amen. And then lastly, to the grandparents, let us all try not to spoil our grandkids too much. Amen. That's free. That's just throw that in there, right? And then also to the godparents. Thank God for Pastor Dal and Rochelle Scott, who are serving as the children's godparents. Traditionally, godparents were counted as had an informal responsibility for ensuring that a child's religious education was carried out, and for caring for the child should any of the children be orphaned. Today, the word godparent may not have explicit religious overtones. I'm just pointing that out. Godparents is not something you'd see in the Bible, okay? It's more something in our family tradition that we bring in godparents, but they do play an important role. Godparenting is usually associated with a baptism or christening ceremony in some Christian denominations. The term godparenting or godparents, while not addressed in scripture, is a tradition that is neither condemned nor condoned by the scriptures, okay? And primarily as godparents, we encourage you to pray for the parents and for the children and for the grandparents. Pray specifically for the parents' marriage and for the children's salvation. Amen. So thank God for our godparents. And then lastly, to the church at large, okay? To Taylor Tabernacle, and those here in person and those joining us online, we have a charge to keep, right? That's the church, a song in the old church, a charge to keep I have, a God to glorify. But as a church, we have a responsibility to this family and to these children. So do you, Taylor Tabernacle, agree to support these children, their parents, grandparents, and godparents by your example and acts of service? Do you agree to reinforce the biblical instruction, the discipline, and love of these children under the supreme rule of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? If you so do, would you please signify by saying, we will? Okay? We will. I think we can all remember our times growing up as young people in church. It was not only our mothers and fathers who popped us, but it was also older men and women in the church who popped us when our mom and dad wasn't around. And we're grateful for that. Amen. And so we thank God for you. And again, just information, just so we can understand the significance of children. And we're going to explore some of that in the Word of God, the significance of children in the sight of God, but also their significance in the church and in the life of the family. Amen. And so today, I'm just going to pray for and anoint Zoe Quinn Price, who is 10 years old, Zaya Nzinga Price, who is 7, and Quentin Xavier Kofi Price, who is 5. Amen. So I'm going to ask them to stand, and if they wouldn't mind coming forward, and we're just going to anoint and pray for them. Amen.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit. Father in heaven, we thank you for these precious children. We thank you that before they were even conceived, that in your word you have planned destiny for their lives. blood of Jesus calls them in due season and not into eternity to one day hear, respond to your love. Cause their ears to be sensitive to the word of God. Cause their spirit to hear your voice. Cause their flesh to yield unto your presence. Father, we thank you for them. We thank you for what, who they are now, what they will become. Pray and ask in Jesus' name. Bless and keep them on his way.
Amen.
Come on, let's keep them on his way.
So at this time, we're going to ask our sister Leah Reed to come. She'll give us a solo. And then after that, we'll turn our attention to the Word of God. Amen.
These moments are so very precious, and as you are leading them and showing them to love the Lord, and as you love one another and you love God, and so they see that, and so they, just as Pastor Ford mentioned, to model that so that they can be able to practice that. And so we love the Lord on today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He is our everything. It is in him that we live and we move and we have our very being. And so we honor him and we bless his name. Hallelujah. So we can sing together this song more than anything. Hallelujah. I lift my hands in total adoration unto you. You reign on the throne, for you are God and God alone. Because of you, my cloudy days are gone. I can sing to you this song. I just want to say that I love you more than anything. Oh, I lift my hands in total adoration unto you. You reign on the throne, for you are God and God alone. Because of you, my cloudy days are gone. I can sing to you this song. I just want to say that I love you more than anything. Come on, let's declare our love for the Lord. I love you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. Oh, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love. Yes, we're singing together. We're declaring our love for the Lord because he loves us so much. I love. I worship and adore. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love. Oh, I love. just want to tell you, Lord, I love, Lord, I love. Let's declare it one last time. Oh, I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore. Thank you, Lord. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love more than anything. Lord, I love, Lord, I love, Lord, I love, Lord, I love you more than anything. Lord, I love you, Lord, I love, Lord, I love you more than anything. Oh, Lord, I love you more than anything. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Come on, let's lift the Lord. Come on, it's Sunday morning. Let's lift our Lord. Come on, do you love him more than anything? Come on, let's let the world know. Let's let the world know. I love the Lord more. Hallelujah. I love him more. I love him more than anything. Lord, I love you. Lord, I adore you. Lord, I magnify your name. Woo! Why? Because if it had not been for the Lord that was on our side, oh, where would we be? But the Lord knew me. The Lord chose me. The Lord gave me a plan. The Lord gave me a purpose. The Lord chose the right parents. The Lord chose the right grandparents. And that's why, Lord, we love you and adore you for what you have done for us. You may be seated all over the sanctuary. Hey, if you have your Bible, let's go to the book of St. Mark, continuing to preach through this entire book. I'm going to ask you to turn to the 10th chapter. I'm just going to lift up a short sermon, just a few verses coming out of Mark, the 10th chapter, verses 13 through 16. Amen. We're going to add to the witness also out of the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 18. Just going to look at the first couple verses there. So if you have a Bible in hard print, if you have it electronically on your phone or tablet, again, Mark 10:13, and out of the witness at Matthew 18, beginning at verse 1. Amen. Hey, also this Sunday, if you would help me out, if you, in addition to your Bible, if you have any keys, car keys, house keys, church keys, keys to your grandparents' house, could you just take your keys out? We're going to need our keys today. Amen. Like I said during the dedication, a picture is worth a thousand words. Sister Leah said she's a teacher, and we know we learn best when we can see it. Amen. So we're going to read it first out of the Word of God. And then we're going to shake our keys to make sure we can see it. Amen. So if you have those passages, I am going to invite you to stand with me this morning. Mark, the 10th chapter, beginning at verse 13.
It says, then they brought the little children to him that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was greatly displeased. And he said to them, let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it. Took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and he blessed them. Amen. Let's flip back to just Mark, Matthew 18, 1 through 5. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Jesus called a little child to him and set him in the midst of them and said, assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Amen. This morning, I just want to talk from the subject, kids are the key to the kingdom of God. All right? Kids are the key to the kingdom of God. Okay, everybody hold your keys up. Shake your keys, right? There you go. Good. That's right there. If you got that, you got the whole sermon. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you for the keys that have been given to us to know and to understand the mysteries of God, that we might live our lives in a way that, and in a manner that is pleasing unto you. So Lord, this Sunday morning, open our eyes, open our ears, open our heart, that we might receive the precious truth of the word of God. This is our prayer, and we ask it in Christ's name for his sake and his sake alone. Amen. You may be seated all over the sanctuary. The word key has many definitions in the dictionary. But for the purpose of today's sermon, I want to focus on this particular meaning. And I do ask that you pay close attention. The key and the definition that we're going to lift up today in regard to this sermon is something that provides a means of entry, access, or possession of. Okay? A key means gaining entry or access or possession of. Okay? Because you have a key, you can gain entry to the church, to your house, to your car. Because you have key, you can gain access to it. And because you have a key, you are able to possess whatever inside. Right? All because you have what? Okay? If you got it, say, I got it. Okay, here we go. That's going to be the backdrop to this whole sermon. Just tell somebody, say, I got a key. Here it is, verse 13. And then they brought little children to him, being Jesus, that he might touch them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them. If you are a parent, a grandparent, a godparent, or a single person who one day hopes to have children, one of the greatest things you can do for children is to take them to church. Let the church say amen. Okay? Why? Because Jesus loves children. Okay? Jesus loves children. One of the songs we used to sing as young and growing up in the church was Jesus loves what? The little children, right? All the, oh, wait a minute, I wrote in my notes, I'm going to try to sing this, so. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Y'all remember that? Red and yellow, black and white. They are precious in His sight. Why? Love the little children of the world. Yay! Now, please don't have the pastor sing anymore. But Jesus loves the little children. Psalms 127:3 says, children are a gift from the Lord, and they are a reward provided by Him. But in spite of His love for children, in spite of God's recognition that they are a gift from Him and to be treated preciously, in spite of all of that, this text here tells us that the disciples rebuked those parents, grandparents, godparents, guardians, aunts, or whoever it was that were trying to bring kids into the presence of Jesus. In biblical times, children were held in a low status in Jewish society. Children, like women in biblical times, derived their position in society primarily from their relationship to an adult male. However, Jesus was a contrarian in His time. He loved children and always welcomed them into His presence, unlike His disciples. Verse 14 says, but when Jesus saw it, He was greatly displeased. And He rebuked His disciples and said to them, let the little children come to Me, and do not forbid them. Jesus said, y'all get out the way. Instead of trying to get them out the way, you get out the way. Let the children come. Of course, He says this phrase, for of such is the kingdom of God. Jesus sharply opposes the behavior of His disciples and says, let the children come, for of such is the kingdom of God. Instead of banning children from His presence, Jesus commends them as the true heirs of heaven. Of such is the kingdom of God. What does that phrase mean? Of such is the kingdom of God. To answer the question simply, it means that the kingdom of God, or what you and I would refer to as heaven, is and will be inhabited by those with a childlike disposition and attitude. Okay, let me say it again. What does this phrase mean? For of such is the kingdom of God. To answer the question simply, it means that the kingdom of God, or heaven for you and I, is and will be inhabited by those with a childlike disposition and attitude. Okay? Tell somebody, kids live in the kingdom. Okay, I know we always think, oh, my grandmother's going to be there and this one's going to be. Jesus says in the kingdom of God will be people with a childlike disposition and attitude. Okay, tell somebody I got my keys. So there will be no pastors in heaven. There will be no priests or rabbis. There will be no preachers or ushers or worship leaders. But rather, it is kids who will inhabit the kingdom of God. Okay? Look to somebody and say, I got it out the word. I'm not making this up. This is in your Bible. Amen? Here you go, verse 15. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, get this, will by no means enter it. Okay? And let's read it again. Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as or like a little child, they will by no means enter it. Okay? That means you can't get in if you're not a kid. And by a kid, we simply mean not your age, right? But we mean your disposition and attitude, right? If you're with me, say, I got it. Whoever, young or black, young or old, black or white, rich or poor, if you do not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, you can't go in. Children, especially little children, are often praised for their innocence and their spontaneity and their humility. It is often assumed that it is because of these qualities, these childlike qualities, that Jesus commends children. However, in this particular story, children are not blessed because of the virtues they possess, but rather for what they lack. Okay, let me say it again, because this is the crux of the sermon right here. Children, especially little ones, are often praised for their innocence, their spontaneity, and their humility. And it is often assumed that it is because of these traits or these qualities that Jesus commends them. However, in this particular story, the children are not blessed because of their virtues, their innocence, their spontaneity, or their humility, but rather they are blessed because of what they lack. They come as they are. Small, powerless, without sophistication, and as the overlooked and dispossessed of society. Okay? That is what gets them into the kingdom of heaven. To receive the kingdom of God as a child is to receive it as one, get this, who has no credit, no clout, and no claims. Let the church say amen. To receive the kingdom of God as and like a child is to receive it as one who has no credit. That means they got nothing to work with. They receive it with no clout. Their name don't mean nothing. Their name doesn't mean anything. Their mama's name doesn't mean anything. Their grandfather's name. They don't have any clout, nor do they have any claim. They don't have any right to the kingdom of God. Get this, and they know it. Right? And at a kid who has nothing to offer, nothing to bring, and whatever a child like that receives, get this, they receive by grace. Why? Because what? They know they don't have no credit. Well, maybe they don't know that, but they don't. You can tell them that. They don't, no credit, no clout, no claim. So anything they get, guess what? They're happy, what? To receive it, right? And so they receive whatever it is, right? Any act of kindness, any gift, any acts of love, they receive it by grace. By grace meaning they realize they didn't do anything to earn it. Am I right about it? Come on, I got my church here. Ephesians 2:8 says what? For we have been what? Saved by grace and by faith. And that what? Not of ourselves. It's a what? A gift of God, right? Somebody say, I got the keys. Here it is. Let's wrap it up. And that final, we're not even going to work there. It says, here it is. So if anyone wants to go to heaven, now most people, I'm not going to say all people, but most people want to go to heaven. Most people want to go to heaven even if they don't believe in heaven. They still want to go there on the off chance that is what? Real. So yeah, I want to go. No, I don't go to church. I don't believe it, but I do want to go to heaven. Okay. And so Jesus is now helping them and us by saying, if you want to go to heaven, right? If you want to get into the kingdom of God, here it is. Anybody wanting or desiring, get this, to enter or gain access to or have possession of heaven, they must use the right key to enter in. Right? All right.
Let me say it again. I didn't get enough amens. You know, preachers, we got to have more than 80% amens. If not, you got to repeat it again. Here it is. If anybody, get this, wants to enter in, gain access to, or have possession of the kingdom of God, they must enter like a little child in order to have the proper key to get in. So I have to ask your neighbor, do you got the right keys? I know you got keys, but that may be your house keys or your car keys. I'm talking about the key to the kingdom of God. And the key to the kingdom is not your title or position in the church. It is not your name or your reputation in the community. But it is your child-like disposition. It is your humble and submitted attitude that causes you to gain entrance into the kingdom of God. Let the church say amen. Here it is. Let me preach it out. Here it is. I'm finished. So until Pastor Ford can become more like Jacob Ford, he cannot enter, gain access, or possess the kingdom of God. Touch your neighbors. I got to have the right key. Let me preach it. So until the first lady becomes more like Kennedy McCoy, she cannot enter, gain access to, or possession of the kingdom of God. Somebody say, preach, Pastor Ford. It is not until the deacons become more like Gabe Cureton and Quentin Price that they cannot enter, gain access to, or possession of the kingdom of God. I wish I had my real church this Sunday. Listen, to all of the deaconesses, if you don't become more like Zoe and Zaya Price, you cannot enter, gain access to, or possession of the kingdom of God until all of the ushers become more like Landry, Lincoln, and Lennox Foote. You can't, you won't be able to enter, gain access to, or possession of the kingdom of God. Get this. Since I got my help here, until we all become less like the disciples and more like Zane Amari Davis. I wish I had my real church. He's a little thing. April, he'll be 1 year old. But unless we become less like ourselves and more like the kids in our church, we shall not be able to enter in, gain access to, or have possession of the kingdom of heaven. Somebody in the church shout yes. Why do we have to become like our kids? We want to tell our kids they need to become like us. And some of us be honest and say, no, become like someone else, not us. Just become like someone, become like President Obama. But the reality is, we don't need kids to become like us, but rather we need to become like our kids. Somebody in the church shout yes. Why? Because kids are the key to the kingdom of God. Here it is. According to 1 Peter 2 and 2, he says, as newborn babes, we should all desire the sincere milk of the Word of God. You ever seen a little baby when he's hungry? Just crying, flapping. Man, I gotta have that milk. And that is the way we, as adults, ought to be concerning the Word of God. When we can finally get over ourselves until we can finally move our kids from a place of neglect and subordination and lift them up as the prime examples that they are and realize I need to become more like them versus them becoming more like me. Because as I've gotten older, I've become more prideful. As I've gotten older, I've become more greedy. As I've become older, I've become more preferential in my treatment. But little kids love who? They love everybody. They hug anybody. And God looked over the disciples. He said, you get out of the way. You are doing more to hinder the move of God by keeping the children away. Jesus said, you got to flip the order because those guys possess the keys to the kingdom of God. So let this word and this simple story be a reminder to us. Kids are the keys to the kingdom of God. Shall we all stand? Father in heaven, we thank you for the opportunity that we've had to come around the Word of God. We thank you for the great occasion of today to be mindful of the wonderful gift and blessing that children are to the family. Lord, I pray that you would help us to love them, to care for them, and to cherish them, to raise them, and to train them in the things of God. And Lord, as we do, may we remember that they are the ones with the real key to the kingdom of God. As we try to teach and train them, help us also to be mindful, to learn from them, to watch them, that we too may be blessed by the hand of the Lord. And Father, we pray this Sunday morning, if there's anyone here who does not know and has not received the precious gift of the Lord Jesus Christ, that something said here today may touch or open their heart, that they might be receptive to what you offer us, access into the kingdom of God. And so we pray for them, and not only for them, but for those they affect and those they can reach and those they can touch. Cause us, Lord, to be bright light. Cause us to be savory salt sprinkled in and on the earth that we might change it and influence it for the kingdom of God. So this is our prayer. Go with us. Remember all of the children, name by name, one by one. Bless them and keep them. Cause them to grow up and become giants in the kingdom of God. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, Taylor. Amen. 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 Before we move to the next part of our service, if there's anybody who has any questions, those of you online, those of you who are in the sanctuary, you can always reach out to the church leadership. Amen. Amen. You can approach me. There are other deacons and deaconesses here, but if you want somebody, you want to approach me after service, you have questions, please go right ahead. And for those of you who are online, you can always call the church and leave a message at what number? See, they still don't know. 215-748-4444. 4, 5, 7, 8. Amen. And I only said that because the next part of the service, let's get excited. Can I get a drum roll? Can I get a little offering time? Hey! This is our opportunity to help the Lord in the building of His kingdom. Amen? Amen. And you have the opportunity to give in several ways. Amen? First, you can give by text message. You can text the code Taylor61, T-A-Y-L-O-R 61, to the phone number 73256. And you will receive a link and instructions. Amen. You can give through our website. You can go to taylortabernacle.com/giving and follow the instructions there. You can give by U.S. mail. You can send a check or money order to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, PA 19139. Excuse me. You can give by Venmo. Venmo at Taylor-Tabernacle-6309. And finally, I guess it's back on here, so I assume it's working, Cash App. And there it's dollar. It is working? Amen. It's working. Amen. So Cash App, you got the dollar symbol, Taylor Tabernacle. Amen? Amen. And finally, for those of you who are here in the sanctuary, we have two baskets located on the windowsill, one for the tithes and offerings and the other for the speaker today, which is our wonderful pastor. Amen? Amen. So you can give in all those ways. And in your giving, know that you're supporting the children, because I get to step aside and let our announcements be delivered by one of our wonderful children of the hour, our sister Zoe. Amen. Amen.
The pastor and leadership team would like to thank you for joining us this Sunday. Our live stream service will continue via Facebook and YouTube Live, so that you may continue to join us in worship from your home. Remember to hit subscribe right there on the YouTube page, or follow us on Facebook at Taylor Tabernacle so that you are informed and up to date with all our upcoming gatherings and dates. If you are not receiving our weekly email, please send us your new email address and we will add you to the list. Thank you. When you decide to join us for in-person worship, please take your temperature before leaving home and bring a mask to wear. If you or someone in your family have had contact with anyone who has the COVID-19 virus, we encourage you to please stay home. We invite you to join us for Wednesday night prayer and Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. While we present Sunday school from 8:30 to 9 o'clock a.m. via Google Meets. Listed below are the students' login links. We look forward to seeing your child every second, third, fourth, and fifth Sundays. If you do not receive your Sunday school book, please see Deacon Todd McCoy after service. Primary class age 4 to 8, junior class age 9 to 12, teen class age 13 to 17.
Amen.
Didn't she do a great job? Thank God. Look, train them in the way that they should go. Thank God. Wonderful, wonderful job. Well, thank you all for being here today, for being in the Lord's house on Sunday morning. Thank you for being here in support of the Price family. And one of the things I'm going to mention, that immediately after the benediction, for those who want pictures feel free that they want to ask the family to come. My wife and I are going to stand with Quincy and Zakiya and the kids for a picture, a photo for the church. But if you also would like to have a picture of them, feel free. That would be the appropriate time. We didn't want to do it during the course of service. We wanted to wait till the conclusion, okay? So with that being said, if all minds are clear, shall we stand? Thankful again for our Pastor Scott being with us here today and Sister Rochelle, all of our guests, all of our visitors. Thank you for joining us in worship on this Sunday. Now unto him that is able to present us faultless and spotless into the presence of our heaven and holy Father. Lord Jesus, we pray that you would sanctify us now. Now that we have received the word of God. Now that we have received the key to entry into the kingdom of God, help us to live as lights in this world. Help us to shine not with the brightness of our own countenance, but help us to shine with the brightness of the Son of God. Help us to be as little children and draw others into your kingdom. This is our prayer. We ask it in Jesus' name. All of God's people say amen. Amen. Amen again. God bless you, Taylor.